share a little message about standing in faith or keeping the faith. You may have heard that before. And we'll say, keep the faith, brother. And say, okay, I'll do it. And then some, maybe you don't even know how to do that. But anyway, I'm going to share that and see how it goes here. And we'll just kind of go along. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been rather obsessed with this election thing for the last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, it's taken my entire thought most of the time, all day long. And I've been praying a lot, praying in the Spirit. I mean, as soon as I saw it on election night, I saw this thing happen where they shut down the election and Donald Trump was leading, and then they shut down, and then they continued to count, and the next morning it was turned drastically the other direction in all of these states. And I said, there's something going on here. Well, it turns out there's about 40, 50, 60 million other people that feel the same way. I'm not exactly a lone ranger in this thing. And, you know, people say, well, you shouldn't get all political. Well, you know, it was political people. It was religious people. Religious people shouldn't get political. It was religious people who started this nation. It was religious people that said, I'm going to worship the way I want to, and I'm not going to be oppressed by government. It was religious people who declared the Declaration of Independence. It was religious people who created the Constitution. It was religious people who fought and died in the Revolutionary War. They're the ones who started it, by the way. The religious people that shouldn't be involved in politics. Because, see, if you're not involved with politics, wicked men will come in and take over. I mean, we've seen it happen slowly over time. We've seen it happen. If the church is not involved with running society and the government, then wicked people will take it. That's just the way it works. It's always been that way. So anyway, so I saw that, and, you know, now, I don't know if everybody listening to me agrees with that assessment of things, that this election was stolen or attempted to be stolen. I don't know if everybody agrees with that. I respect everybody's opinion. I don't mean to offend anybody. I'm just simply telling you my view and my opinion. And I can't take both sides of the argument. I'm just telling people what I think I saw. So we can agree to disagree if you don't agree. But if we don't agree, if you have a different opinion, then that's fine. I'm okay with that. But I can't really join in with you and agree with you. Then both of us would be wrong. So we don't want that to happen. Anyway, no, I'm just joking around. Many today are believing, and this is where we're at right now. This is a word for today. Many have been believing that God is going to expose corruption in this election, fraud in this election. And, you know, major prophetic voices like Abner Suarez and others, major prophetic voices in the body of Christ have been speaking of this before the election. I mean, months before the election. This is what's going to happen. The Lord said, this is going to happen. Fear not. I'm going to do this. And this has been coming all year long if you listen to the prophets. And we have some, we are a prophetic church. How many know that? We are a prophetic church. So anybody in here says, well, I don't believe the prophets. I don't think there's such a thing. You're in the wrong church, but that's okay. Believe what you want to believe, but, you know, if you're in a prophetic church, you ought to believe in the prophets. And so, all these things have been coming forth prophetically in the body of Christ for a good while, and especially right now. But, you know, if you listen to the news media, what they're doing is they're pushing a whole different narrative. And they're moving their agenda along, and they think their guy has won, and they're transitioning to the Oval Office, and et cetera, et cetera. And Trump is just a sore loser, and we're going to have to boot him out of there. You know, these types of things are coming across the media. And then when it comes to fraud in the election, oh, no, 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 nothing to see here, nothing to see here. You know, if you listen to the prophets, they say, stay in faith, stay in prayer, keep your faith up. Well, how do you do that? How do you do that against contradictory circumstances and words and things you're hearing from the media and so forth? And how do we get there and how do we stay there? So I'm going to tell you today how to get there and how to stay there. So I'm going to share just a short thing about some of the ABCs or the kindergarten of faith. some things we need to know if we're going to have faith for anything. Because there are principles, there are spiritual laws involved in having faith. And if you don't follow them, you'll end up in unbelief, which is very, very easy to do these days because there's so much of it coming our way. And I want to talk about an area called the head and the heart. If we're ever going to walk in faith in anything, we must understand there's a difference between the head and the heart. Okay, now, you know, I assume people knew what I meant when I said that. I taught on that a couple of years ago, and people looked at me like the old proverbial cow at a new gate. What are you talking about? And then Jenny, I was talking with Jenny this the other day about this, and she said, "Do you mean the physical head and the physical heart?" I said, "No, I'm not talking about physical head and physical heart. Anybody would know there's a difference between a physical head and a physical heart. We wouldn't have to discuss that. I mean, that wouldn't even come up. Anybody would just know that. I'm talking about, when I'm talking about the head, I'm talking about the place of our intellectual thought. The place where we reason things out in our mind. The place we receive information from our five senses. Touch, taste, smell, hear, seeing. What we pick up, the way we evaluate what's going on around us in the world. That's our head. That's what I mean by the head. Have you ever heard somebody say, the word needs to get from here down to here? Anybody ever heard that expression? Well, they're two separate places. You can have the word in your head and your intellectual understanding, but it never gets down here to where faith is released in it. It needs to get into our heart, not our physical heart, not the blood pump that pumps our blood, but our spiritual heart. See, when the Bible refers to our heart, it's talking about our human spirit. Not our intellect or our mental faculties, but our spirit. Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. You see, our spirit is the part of us that experiences love and joy and peace and hope and faith. But it's also the part that experiences fear. It's also the part of us that experiences doubt. Our heart is the part of us that experiences anxiety. Our heart is the part of us that experiences depression and despair and hopelessness, and I could go on and on. Those things are all things that are experienced in the heart, not the head. And just to distinguish between the heart and the head, the spirit and the soul, you might say. The Bible says that the Word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword that divides between soul and spirit. You see, we have to learn to distinguish between the two, and the Word of God will help us do that. Once we understand which part of us is our soul and which part of us is our heart, our mind, our spirit, then we will be able to do some things we couldn't do before because we were kind of caught up in some issues and problems. Peter told us not to make, he was speaking about women, he said, don't make your beauty to be so much in the outward person with the plaiting of hair and the putting on of beautiful apparel. And I'm not preaching against makeup and hairdos and pretty clothes and stuff. He says in 1 Peter 3:4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So Peter calls our spirit the hidden man of the heart. Let it be the hidden man of the heart. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So he's talking about the inward man or the spirit. Our spirit is renewed day by day. Now our outward man is perishing, so to speak. It's getting older and older. And one of these days, you know. What was it somebody said? I shared this the last time. One scientist shared, said it's been proven that 97% of the people in this room are going to die at some point in their life. I want to see that study. Anyway, the point I'm making here is that the heart, the spirit, is a different part of us than the head or our intellect. And I think, you know, a lot of people just, okay, I agree with that. That's not hard to understand. Have you ever heard the expression, take heart? What does that mean? It means take courage. Take courage. That's a thing of the heart. It means to take courage. You take courage in your heart. But your head might be freaking out at the time. We're getting ready to go into battle and the guns and the bombs or all that's going on. But inside your heart, you take courage and you march into battle. See, regardless of what your head is saying, it's saying, oh, no, don't go there. This is not good. So your heart and your head can go two different directions. The word inspired. Did you know the word inspired, if you look it up in the regular dictionary, it means to be inspirited. We take inspiration in our heart or our spirit, not in our head. Have you ever heard the expression, the Lord spoke to my heart and told me this and thus and so? Well, yeah, we've all heard that expression because God speaks to our spirit, not our intellect. You know, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He didn't say God is a mind. He said God is a spirit. And so we are spirits. He is the father of spirits, and we are those spirits that he's the father of. We are a spirit primarily. We live in here. It's down in here that we live. We have a soul, which includes our intellect and our mind, but we also live in a physical body, which is another part of us. And so, we're talking about a part of our being that's distinctly different from our head, and it's located right down here. Or some people say out of their belly. Now, in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, I'm going to nail this home. See, it's not really that strange when you start listening to it, but if you understand what your spirit is and you understand what your head is, you can fight the good fight of faith. Because faith happens in here. But it's the head that feeds down in here. So we'll talk about that in a minute. I'll give you an example of this. It's the heart that man believes. With the heart, man believes. But what we hear or see with our head affects our spirit. When Jesus was preparing to leave to go to the Father in John chapter 16, I believe it is, he told his disciples he was going somewhere. I'm going somewhere now and you cannot come now. And they were rather troubled about it. And it says, John verse 16, 6, Jesus said, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. What he said to them filled them with sorrow. And that means sorrow, pain, grief, annoyance, affliction, heaviness, depression. See, bad news has that effect on human beings. When you get some really bad news, it fills your heart with heaviness and worry and anxiety, sorrow maybe, grief maybe. But notice it was in the heart that the turmoil took place, not their head. He didn't say your head is filled with sorrow. He said your heart is filled with sorrow. Now, right down in here is where that happens. And actually, if you begin to think about it, and meditate on it some, you can begin to recognize what's going on in your spirit as opposed to what's going on in your head. Have you ever noticed when you get suddenly startled, you go, ah! Instead of, ah! Because it's right in here that you feel that startledness. It's right in here that it happens. Have you ever heard somebody say, when they broke the news to us, I felt a sinking feeling in my stomach. See, that's a spiritual thing taking place. It happens down in here. Or somebody said, I just knew I wasn't supposed to do that. I just had a feeling I was. Well, that's an intuition. You know, you don't know why, but you have an intuition. That's spiritual stuff we're talking about now as opposed to mental stuff. Now, I know I'm taking the long way around the mountain here today, okay? But I think it's important that we understand this difference. It'll make a huge difference in your ability to stand in faith for anything. See, we've pointed out that faith is of the heart. But the Bible also says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I taught on that scripture a while back. It means to guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it, guard it like a jail keeper guards an inmate. This is what God says to us, guard your spirit. Because if you don't guard your spirit, things are going to happen to it that you didn't want to happen because you're not guarding it. And so this is extremely important because we need to get to the place that we have perfect peace in our spirit. But all the problems and things that come our way can stir up anxiety, fear, worry, and we have anything but peace. And you can actually feel it in there. Once you learn to do this, you go, oops, that's not supposed to be there. See, it says, for out of your heart are the boundaries of your life set. If your heart is all messed up with things, then out of your heart, the boundaries of your life are set by what's in your heart. And this is where we miss it. When it comes to being strong in faith, we fail to diligently guard our hearts. That's where we miss it. We fail to diligently guard our hearts. And because we fail to guard our hearts, all sorts of undesirable things get in there and kill our faith. And then we have to deal with those things somehow. We have to get stirred up some way to get those things out of our heart. So let's take this just a little further while we're on the subject. Romans 10:17 says, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now this word hearing here, if you're a person who looks up the words, that word hearing means, it's kind of a broad thing to hear, but one of the meanings is things heard. The word hearing is translated as things heard in other places. Faith comes from things heard. We can put it that way. Faith comes from things heard. Or let's put it this way. What we hear determines what we believe. What we hear, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. Because what you hear determines what you believe. So guarding what we hear is essential in guarding our hearts. Does that make sense? Guarding what you let yourself hear. If you listen to lies long enough, you will begin to believe them. That's how you brainwash a society into believing ridiculous, absurd things and making those standard thought. You say it long enough, it sounds crazy at first, but once you say it long enough, people buy into it. This is the way it is. And then you got all this politically correct thing going on. We won't go into that. So first and foremost, if you want to have faith in the right things, shut off the mainstream media. Praise God. They are rightly named fake news. I believe it was Donald Trump who gave them that, who coined that phrase. Fake news, fake news. So first and foremost, shut off the mainstream media. Many in these days, many of the prophets have likened the mainstream media to the prophets of Baal in Jezebel's day. They're prophesying something that's not coming from God. They're speaking out something for people to hear and latch on to and believe. They're prophets in that sense. They are the false prophets in the land pushing a false narrative. How do you know the devil's lying? His mouth is moving. His lips are moving. That's right. How do you know the media's lying? They're talking. Praise God. We've got to shut out those voices. Don't open yourself up to that. Just turn it off. Take it out of your life. Guard your heart with all diligence. Lock that door and keep it shut. Because you're not going to believe what they say if you don't hear it. Because whatever you believe comes from something you heard. If you never hear a thing, you'll never believe it. Jesus said, how will they believe on him whom they've not heard? And in Romans chapter 10, how shall they believe on one they haven't heard? Well, it's impossible. Now, the second half of that verse says, and hearing by the word of God. Now, let's take a few seconds just to define a couple of those words. The word hearing, of course, still means things heard. The word and hearing by the word of God. That word and is translated in most cases as but. So it's a conjunction that's translated but, and it's translated even as moreover. I like that word, moreover. Faith comes by things heard, and moreover, by the Word of God. The word here translated word for Word of God is the Greek word rhema, which we're all familiar with, which means the spoken word. But it's a very broad definition too. And if you look at it, one of the meanings of that word is things spoken. It's the spoken word, things spoken. So let's read the verse that way. I'm going to just transpose all those meanings into it. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by things heard, moreover the things heard of the things spoken of God. Things heard of the things spoken of God. So faith comes from hearing the things spoken of God. Praise God. Well, how do you hear the things spoken of God? Okay. Everything opens up another question, doesn't it? How do you hear the things spoken of God? A major way, of course, is to read and meditate in the Bible. We ought to all read our Bibles every day in some form or another. And the Bible is full of things spoken of God. No word is of any private interpretation, for holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. When the Bible was recorded, it was a rhema word that some prophet was getting, and it was written down. We call it the written word, but it was rhema before it became written. And there's still rhema in it. It's the spoken word of God. But the Bible's full of those things. But listening to preaching of the word is also a way to hear the things spoken of God. In fact, it's the primary way that God uses in the church to present his word. It says, by the foolishness of preaching, God has chosen to, what's that scripture? Confound the wise by the foolishness of preaching. Preaching, how shall they hear if they have not a preacher? You see, preaching is the way, the primary way that the Word of God goes forth, and there is the ability to hear that spoken Word of God through preaching. So that's another way. But there are yet other ways to hear the spoken Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, we're pretty familiar with this, I think, in this church. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Whoop, record stuck, excuse me. I wanted to emphasize for the edifying of the body of Christ, in case you didn't catch that. Praise God. You see, he gave these gifts to edify, to build up the body of Christ. Not just for no reason. There was a reason that these things were given. These are gift ministries Jesus gave when he ascended on high. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. The fivefold ministry, we call it. And they're given for edifying or building up the body of Christ. Now, one of those ministries that was mentioned was the prophet. The prophet. It says that the Lord has placed prophets in the body of Christ. Now, what is their purpose? What's the purpose of a prophet? I bet y'all know the answer to this one. To prophesy the word of the Lord. I just gave you a hint. That's the answer. To prophesy the word of the Lord. So, are these prophets' prophecies infallible? No, they're not infallible. We know that the Bible says, let them prophesy by two or three and let the others judge. In other words, prophecies are supposed to be judged. That, you know, they're supposed to be judged by the other prophets. So, because prophets can miss it, but they can also hit it. They can also hit it. Now, there are numerous recognized prophets in the church, in the body of Christ, in this hour. Men and women who have proven track records over many, many years. You remember Kim Clement. Some of the things he prophesied 4 or 5 years ago, just coming to pass now. He was a prophet of the Lord. Now, he died younger than he should have, but he was a recognized prophet. There are others. Now, I want to give a disclaimer here. Many Christian circles teach that all that passed away with the early apostles, along with the gifts of the Spirit, such as tongues and healing, etc., etc. But, you know, I just have to say they're way too late for me. They're way too late for me because I already speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Shikara masika. I mean, I've been speaking in tongues for 40 years. You know, I've already been healed. I got healed 40 years ago. I've been walking in divine health ever since. So you can't tell me that those things are passed away because I've, you know. This is a prophetic church, you know, so we believe in prophets here. I believe in prophets. I've heard prophets prophesy over the years, 40 years, and see things come to pass. So I know the prophet operates today. You can have a false doctrine about it if you want to and try to tell everybody that they don't exist anymore. You're too late for me. Praise God. You know, in the days of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, the Moabites and the Ammonites came down to bring a battle against the king and Judah. And it says they gathered the people together, and Jehoshaphat prayed and asked the Lord to help them against these enemies, because these enemies are just too great for us. It's not possible for us to defeat them. And it says a prophet of the Lord stood up in the congregation and prophesied that they would be victorious in battle. So, you know, he's prayed to God, and then in the congregation a prophet stood up and said, "Thus saith the Lord, go down tomorrow and face this enemy. You'll not have to fight, etc., etc. The Lord will fight this battle for you." Anyway, it says in 2 Chronicles 20:20, it says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper.'" They were going into battle on the word of a prophet. And he said, "Believe his prophets and you're going to have success. Believe his prophets." So there's a thing about believing what the prophets say. And you know, the thing about standing in faith, I'm just going to throw this in here. If it takes over 2 or 3 days, forget it. Most people throw in the towel. "Well, I guess that wasn't God. Praise God." You know, and I heard Lance Wallnau say this, "What a bunch of wimps we are sometimes. If you have to stand over 3 days in faith for something, you know, you just give up. That's too much. Oh, well, prophets must have missed it." No, we need to stand in faith, and I'm going to tell you some more about that. He said, "Believe the Lord's prophets and you shall be successful." And that's what we need to do. I make a point to listen to the prophets. Anybody else in here or out there on streaming place out there? Yeah. You ought to take time to listen to the prophets. And I'm talking about the proven ones. Now, there's lots of YouTube pajama wearing basement prophets. I mean, they're out there. Some of them are pretty good. I've listened to them. But I don't know if they're proven. I don't know if their words are accurate or not. But I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the proven ones. People who have been in the ministry 20, 30, 40 years, and they're prophesying, they've been accurate for those years. You know, Kent Christmas came here many, many years ago. He's still out there doing stuff. He's still prophesying. You can find him on YouTube, and he'll encourage you. And Abner Suarez, like I said, there was a prophecy that he gave in October before the election that just laid out what God's going to do in this time in revealing and exposing corruption. I said, "Praise God, I'll take hold of that." So I listened to people like Hank Kuhneman out of Omaha, Nebraska. That's the Lord of Hosts Church, Hank and Brenda Kuhneman. And by the way, and well, I also want to mention Lance Wallnau, Cat Kerr, Dutch Sheets and all of his friends, Kent Christmas, Abner Suarez. The list goes on and on. Of good prophets, you can find out what the prophets of God are saying, because it will build your faith. It will build your faith when you're starting to get weak. I just don't know. You know, if you take time to listen to the prophets. But today there's going to be a meeting out in Omaha, Nebraska, and Cat Kerr is going to be at Hank Kuhneman's church. And he gave a prophecy a week ago that in 7 days God was going to release his heavenly host across this land. Amen. From that church, he said, in Omaha, that's where the military strategic command is for the entire nation. He said, from this place, God is going to release his heavenly host across this land. I said, "Woohoo! Yeah. Hallelujah." See, it stirs you up to hear the right thing. I mean, you can believe in something once you got a good word in you. And if you take time to listen, you know, this word about uncovering fraud and corruption. This is what all the prophets are saying. And you know, you go on YouTube and you find people saying like, well, have the prophets missed it this time? They're ready to pull out the stones and start stoning the prophets because it didn't come to pass in 3.5 days. You know, so why not just believe and continue to stand in faith?
Well, it's too hard. It's just too hard to do that.
I'm not seeing it. See, their head. The head and the heart. See, the head out here, the intellect, to say, well, I don't see anything happening. They must have missed it. That's where we miss it with faith. We say, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Thank God I'm healed. Hallelujah. Next day,
well, the symptoms are still there. I guess I didn't get anything.
Wait a minute. Did you believe you were healed? What difference does it make? Here's a perfect example. Abraham, God said, you and your wife are going to have a baby. And it says that he believed God. He believed the word, so shall your seed be. But it says he considered not his own body now dead, and yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. How can you believe God and not consider the fact that you're 100 years old and your wife is 90 years old and both of you are practically dead? Well, he just chose not to consider it. He shut that out of his thinking. I'm strong in faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And I think it was him not staggering that gave glory to God. He gave glory to God when he stood in spite of what it looked like. You know, if he checked with his head every now and then, oh yeah, I'm still 90 years old. I'm still 100 years old. She's still way past that point in her life. But see, he refused to do that. Instead, he considered not. And so that's, see, sometimes in faith, you've got to consider not what your head's telling you. Because your head can only look around and see what really it appears to be by the senses that what it is. But faith is in here. See, you can't prove faith with your head. I'm believing what God said. All my needs are met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you I have what I need. Thank you, Lord, I have it. Glory to God.
Yeah, but I don't see it out here. Where is it? Where's it going to come from?
Hey, I'm not paying any attention to you because, see, you can have faith in your heart and unbelief in your head. This is why I'm distinguishing between the head and the heart, so you'll know. And there's a whole lot more about this heart thing. The Lord gave me some things this morning about the heart. About when you have certain things in your heart, you can deal with those through prayer. You can deal with those through taking authority over things that you know are not good for you. Painful things, hurtful things, grief, sorrow. Anyway, I haven't got time to teach on that today, so I'm just going to stick with what I'm going on here. Here's what I thought I had the other day. Now, praying in other tongues. If you're a tongue talker, and you ought to be, if you're not praying in tongues, you need to pray in tongues. You need to find out how to do that. You need to make that a goal of your life, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because that's a gift God has given us to stand with in hard times. And I've been praying in other tongues for hours a day. I mean, that's all I want to do is just, because you run out of things to pray with your understanding. But then you can always pray in other tongues. And so I get out on the tractor and I'm riding around 2 or 3 hours on the tractor. She cut out my seed, cut out my hata, cut every blade of grass in this 10 acres, you know, and then go over it again just to make sure. But because I want to pray in other tongues, I want to pray in the Spirit. In the Holy Ghost. And so I've been doing that quite a bit. And the Lord's been speaking things to me. He's been speaking things to me just out of the blue. I'll hear the Lord say something. Here's something he said to me the other day. Because people are out there saying, you know, all the prophets have missed it. The prophets have missed it. Yes, let's just go ahead and move on. Let's move on. The prophets missed it. You know, when that happens, you give up your faith. You stop believing. Anyway, so I was out there on the tractor praying in the Spirit, and I was thinking about all these different prophets who had prophesied across the nation, recognized prophets of the Lord. 100% of them have prophesied the same message, the same word, that God's going to unveil corruption and fraud. He's going to turn this election around. I've heard that, and I've heard it and heard it from every prophet. And it occurred to me out there, the thought came up in my spirit while I was out there riding that it would defy logic for all of them to be wrong. It would defy logic It doesn't make sense that they could all be wrong. And I tell you, I got excited about that. I say, praise God, they are right. They did not all miss it. Now, I can see maybe if one or two of them missed it, or one or two of them said, this is going to turn out this way. And all the rest of them would say, no, God's judging America and judging the church. And, you know, if that were coming down, I might think differently. But every one of them are saying the same thing. And it just occurred to me, you know, it defies logic that all the prophets could be wrong. Before you throw in the towel, you'd be agreeing to something that defies logic. Anyway, praise God. The odds of that happening are astronomical. Let me say it another way. The notion that all the prophets missed it concerning this election defies the law of averages. It defies logical reasoning. So that could not very likely be true. It's very, very unlikely that that's the truth. But the devil comes along. Oh, looks like the prophets missed it. Oh, boy, it looks like you better give up. This is not going anywhere. See, the devil, he's a persistent cuss. He's the one who gives you those thoughts that pull your faith down. And so he's coming along with all that mess. Anyway, where were we anyhow? So these people come along, you know, these prophet police in their basement, in their pajamas. Well, the prophets missed it. Who are you? You haven't darkened the door of a church in 20 years. But you're going to tell us what God say? God. Praise God. Sorry, I get stirred up. 1 Corinthians 14:2, praying in other tongues. This is a gift from God that every believer ought to have, and not only just have, but use. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. However, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. See, speaking in other tongues is praying. We're speaking to God. No man understands, not even our own self. But in the spirit we're speaking hidden and secret and mysterious things. We're praying probably above our ability to understand. God's doing things because we're praying a prayer above our ability to understand. And so we don't run out of praying in other tongues. We should endeavor to pray in tongues for a good hour every morning. I mean, if you're really serious about this Christianity thing, if you're playing games, don't ever do it, you know. But if you're serious, you ought to pray in tongues about an hour every morning. And then all day long, as much as you possibly can. You can't do it all the time because you got to live life and do your work and whatnot. And if you don't have that gift operating in your life, get it. It's a promise of God. The promise is to you and your children and all that are afar off, to as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's who is able to receive that gift. And people get talked out of it. I know I went through all the lies when I first came along in that. But anyway, so to just wrap this up, hallelujah. If you want to stand in faith concerning this election fiasco, or anything else for that matter, first of all, shut off the mainstream media. Just shut them out of your life. You see, the power of suggestion is enormous in affecting what we believe. And they're very persuasive. Very persuasive. Well, this is the way it is. They said it. And he really talked clearly like an announcer. And he looked smart. So he must be right. The media is trying to sell us on a certain narrative. And if they succeed in doing it, they've accomplished their goal. What you believe is based on what you hear. So, and then secondly, recognize the condition of your heart. Are you troubled and anxious? Are you depressed or cast down? Are you in despair? Feel like things are hopeless? You know, there's another thing we taught a while back about casting your cares to the Lord. You know, we're not supposed to carry cares and anxiety with us. We can go to the Lord in prayer. In fact, Philippians 4:6, I'll just read it. Paul said, be careful or anxious or troubled for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, go to the Lord in prayer and tell him what the problem and issue is. And it says that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. In other words, if there's turmoil in your heart, then that needs to be dealt with through prayer and, you know, just coming before the Lord, receiving His peace, casting the care of it over to Him and letting it go. This is something the Lord was telling me this morning. We have the ability to let things go. You know, if we're feeling a certain thing in our spirit, sometimes, you know, the enemy, when you first get up in the morning, he'll beat you over the head over stuff that doesn't even matter to anybody. It happened 30 years ago, you know. And you think, what is this? Sometimes you have to say, no, in the name of Jesus. That's what the Word of God is for, because everything the enemy can throw at you. He even went to Jesus and said, if you be the Son of God, if I be the Son of God, there's no question about it. You're trying to sow doubt into the idea of I'm the Son of God. Well, if you're the Son of God, do this. Well, notice he didn't do this because he didn't act on that prompting of the devil to act on that false word. You might not be the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, do this. He used the Word of God. See, there's a word to come against everything he throws at you and tries to put in your spirit. So doubt and unbelief and all that sort of thing. So we take it to him in prayer and leave it, and we receive his peace. Now, third, take time to hear what the prophets are saying. Turn into some of the newer media outlets. You know, there are things called Newsmax. That's a good one. The Victory Channel, if you got that on your TV, get that one. That'll stir you up and tell you a good, something you can believe. When you're looking at a media person and they're saying something, can I believe this or not? These are good ones, Newsmax and Victory Channel. Let your heart be filled with encouragement. You'll find yourself rising up out of the ashes of defeat and despair. Get into prayer and stay in an attitude of prayer. Agree with what the Lord is saying through His prophets. You know, if what God is saying through His prophets is true, here's another thought. If what God is saying through His prophets is true, we're about to see some amazing things happen. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Glory to God, it's going to be a good show. Hallelujah! We're going to see some amazing, if the word of the Lord is true, if God really speaks through His prophets correctly, we're getting ready to see some good things. Hallelujah. That's one of the things the Lord spoke to me the other morning. You know, thinking, oh, I'm starting to get a little weak in my faith. And then that thought came to me. And He said, start rejoicing. Lord God, this is going to be so good. Woo-hoo, this is going to be good. I'm looking forward to this. Oh, man, glory to God. Come on, Lord. Yeah, this is good. This is good. Hallelujah. See, you get into that place of joy. That's when your faith is really working. You haven't got all that doubt and unbelief and worry and concern and all that in there. You're full of joy. See, joy and faith work together. So, pray in the Spirit, pray with other tongues. The Bible says, if I pray with a tongue, my spirit prays. Keep your spirit busy doing something. Don't let it get involved in what the devil's saying to it or the news media saying. Get your spirit involved in praying in other tongues. And just to close this, guard your heart with all diligence. You decide what you'll let in. You're the jail keeper here. Guard it like a jail keeper guards an inmate. Protect it. For out of it, out of your heart, are the boundaries of your life set. Amen. Praise God. You guys encouraged a little bit today. I just wanted to encourage you. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Hallelujah.